Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Terminal fans, welcome to the show. Sign Guy and QT with you on another Sunday afternoon. Real fast before we jump into things, if you're looking for some wrestling today in Raleigh, North Carolina, Gouge Wrestling happening as we speak. You still have time to make the last part of that show if you hurry, if you're in Raleigh. Later today, DOA Pro Wrestling in Portland, Oregon, having their 7th anniversary show. No blue-collar wrestling tonight. It's DOA's anniversary in the same building that NWA Blue Collar normally runs. So get out there if you're in the Pacific Northwest, support DOA. Without further ado, I'd like to get into this. Today we are talking ring announcing, and we have with us a couple of very, very fine ring announcers from the great state of Minnesota. We have with us Mr. Travis James, and from the great Commonwealth of Tennessee, returning to the show, Ella De La Vega, and Zane Paisley, originally scheduled to be on today. He had obligations that prevented him from appearing, so I will fill in his spot a little bit, seeing as I do have a bit of ring announcing experience myself. So we'll jump into this, and why don't the two of you kind of introduce yourself, let us know where you ring announce and how you got into ring announcing, and we'll go ladies first, so Miss De La Vega.
Well, I ring announce my home base, I guess I would say, is NWA SAW. That's NWA SAW. I started out in Millersville, Tennessee, where they were at the Sawmill Arena. And I've done a couple of other promotions, but NWA SAW is my home.
Mr. James?
Yes, sir.
Same question for you. How did you get into ring announcing, and where are you based in as far as promotions?
Well, where I'm based, currently I'm taking a break, so I don't really have a base, but I have worked for about 30 or 40 different promotions over the last 16 or 17 years that I've been in the business. I got my start back in 1998, helping out the world's strongest wrestler, Ken Patera. He used to run a training camp, and he used to run shows around the state of Minnesota, and I started training with him, while I was training with him, one of his ring announcers had to leave halfway through the show, so he was stuck for someone to announce. And so he asked me if I would do it, and I filled in, and the rest is history, basically. I am based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that's in the state of Minnesota is primarily where I stay for my ring announcing, because it's hard to go out of state because of travel expenses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And we've been joined by our co-host Dimitri as well. And Dimitri, you are one of the premier ring announcers in the Pacific Northwest. You want to tell the people how you got into ring announcing?
First of all, I want to just say good afternoon to everybody. And for me, like I say, quite the honor to get into it. Like I say, always been a fan and going to an event. And it just happened that one of the guys at the promotion, like, said they know about my love for that. And I use my voice, because I use my voice for add-on commercials. And I DJ, so I love being in front of people. So I got that opportunity, thanks to John Rosaka, and the people at SCW to start from there. And from there on out, they've been every promotion pretty much in the Pacific Northwest. Try to get a chance to do that, to ring announce and express my voice for the audience while, say, doing the main thing, keeping the focus on the wrestlers.
Ms. De La Vega, you kind of new to the ring announcing part of this business. So far, what's been the hardest thing for you to learn as a ring announcer?
Well, let's see. I guess the hardest thing would just be to, like, stay cool. I mean, and I come from a theater and acting background, too. So, you know, I've at least had a little bit of experience in, you know, being up in front of people and maybe stuff not going quite as planned and trying to roll through it. But that's still been the biggest challenge as a ring announcer, you know, because not all shows are as organized as they could be. And it's not always one in particular person's fault. Things happen, and you cannot show the audience that there's anything wrong. So I guess that would be the biggest challenge. I haven't had any major incidences yet. I haven't fallen getting in and out of the ring or messed up anyone's name or anything. So, but I've been doing it since November, and I've just been lucky that I've worked with so many great guys, and everyone does the best that they can to make it as easy for me as possible. So, yeah.
And I strongly advise you to not fall getting in or out of the ring.
Yeah, I think it would be a little easier falling into the ring, but falling out of the ring, depending on how high the actual ring is, it would probably hurt and be pretty embarrassing. I probably would just, like, curl up in a ball and just, like, lay there for the whole show. I'd be so embarrassed falling out of the ring. But the referees are nice enough to hold the ropes for me, and they treat me really well. I haven't had any issues with it. But I will say this, as a female ring announcer and the fact that I'm short, I wear heels. And I was warned in the beginning that, you know, if you have to wear heels, we understand, but please be very, very careful because the guys get in the ring and they bounce and it doesn't take a whole lot to, you know, knock you off your center. So I've had a couple of instances where I almost twisted my ankle because the guys get in the ring and they'll start bouncing around and my feet will literally come up off of the canvas, like even an inch or two. And if I don't land properly when they're done, I can twist my ankle. So, yeah.
Uneven boards also would be your enemy. Uneven boards would also be an enemy for that because a heel can get caught in between those real easy.
Yeah, and also holes in the, you know, the canvas itself. There was one time I actually thought I put the hole in it with my heel, but apparently the hole was already in the canvas, and my heel went down into the hole. Like, it was right there, dead center of the ring. And but luckily it wasn't my fault because I felt really bad when I thought that I had done it because I know it costs a lot to repair stuff like that. Yeah.
Travis James, you've been at this a while now. In the beginning, what was some of the trickier aspects for you to learn that part of the business?
To learn the announcing part of the business? Or
yes.
The thing with, okay, because I started back in 1998, I'd say the hardest thing was, you know, is just getting your foot in the door of the business, because back in 1998, you had a lot of old school guys still in the business, and it was very hard to get in because, you know, it's like, you know, they kind of saw you, you know, as being a young kid, you know, and you're green, and so you had to prove yourself, and so you had to do whatever you had to do to get your foot in the door of the business, you know, whether it be hanging up posters or helping with promoting or setting up the ring or, you know, running a camera. I mean, just anything that you could do to get your foot in the door is what you had to do back then. It was run very old school back then. And and my trainer, you know, Ken Patera, is very old school as well. You had to pay your dues, and I paid a lot of dues to get into the business, and it just as things played out, I just there was an opening, and I got my shot, and so, you know, and the rest is kind of history from there. But I do have to say one thing, you know, about the high heel thing. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. I worked in a shoe store, and when I first started out selling shoes in the shoe store, my initiation by the staff is I had to wear a pair of high heels and walk up and down every single aisle of the store. And so I completely feel your pain when it comes to high heels in that ring, because it's kind of squishy.
I mean, last night after the show, because, you know, we just had a show last night, I was, like, limping around after the show. Because, you know, once all the adrenaline kind of wears off and, you know, the fans are filing out and the show's over, you start feeling things. And I was walking around looking like I had just been in, you know, a match, you know, because I was limping. My feet were hurting so bad. Because away from the ring, I don't dress like that. You know, I'm in flip-flops or I'm in sneakers or something like that. I don't do heels. So, yeah. So you guys are very lucky that you don't have to wear heels.
Have you thought of switching to flats, perhaps?
No, because, I mean, again, it's like an image thing, you know, and I'm not trying to be vain, but I'm short. Like I said, I'm short, and I just think that heels make my legs look a little bit better. So, I'm okay suffering through the pain, you know, for a short amount of time. But if I were taller, I'd probably do flats. Or maybe a lower heel. So, yeah.
How tall are you?
I'm gonna tell you 5'1.5", and I'm not just adding the half on there to make myself a little taller. I'm probably closer to 5'2", but about 5'1.5". So I'm pretty small, which is good for the wrestlers because, you know, when I'm in there, it makes them look a lot bigger, you know, than what they might be because they're next to me and I'm so small. And I was even talking to someone about that. I was actually talking to Rob Conway. Rob's actually the one who helped me initially get into the business, and we were discussing things. He's like, hey, listen, whenever you're interviewing guys, like not in the ring, but if you're interviewing them, you know, for a segment for the show, when you're with them, maybe don't wear your heels. You know, if they're not shooting you from the feet up, you know, don't wear your heels. It makes them look bigger. And that's what they want, you know, and maybe stand a little further away from the camera than they do and turn sideways to them and stuff like that. But when I'm in the ring, I want to look as good as I can because, you know, that's my only opportunity to be in the spotlight, you know. So got to throw those bad boys on and deal with it.
Dimitri, when you started out ring announcing, and you've been doing this for quite a while now as well. What were some of the things that were hardest for you to be able to learn transitioning into ring announcing?
Let me see. That's a wild one, because like I said, for me, I always been in front of people, whether said from work or DJing, so I was always used to being in front of people, in front of crowds, and trying to control them one way or another. But with this one, I guess it was just being able to be prepared enough and patient to know the details of the wrestlers, especially wrestlers from out of town areas that I might not be too familiar with. Just getting acquainted with, trying to enunciate their name and get everything else ready so I could make sure that I gave them a great intro like I would anybody else from home.
Right.
Because it's easy to rattle off for me for people that I'm familiar with at home and see up and down every time. But then you get someone out of town, you want to make sure I want to make sure I give them the same reception that our own guys would get.
Very true.
So what do you do whenever you're preparing for something like that? Do you try to contact the guys ahead of time and get their stats, or do you just go around the locker room and, you know, try to catch everyone? How do you usually prepare for it?
I do both. I try to go for the furthest route, especially if I know ahead of time that we're getting visiting wrestlers. I want to do it the furthest and most ahead of time that I can. But if for some reason I don't have no access to them, especially if like there's no way I can find them on Facebook or anything like that, then I get with them at the event.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes they, you know, guys will come in that weren't even necessarily scheduled. So, yeah, I usually try to do that too, but.
I love those last minute ones. Be like, yo, who's that? Oh, he's in the match.
Right.
You didn't know that.
Or they'll, like, change their, you know, they'll change their moniker. So it might be someone you've met, but on the card, it's like, who is that? And then you walk up to him, and you're like, oh, you're so-and-so. Well, it was a different name, so sorry, but.
Yeah, especially if you, or they do give you a program and it says something else, so it's a name you don't recognize, and then when you go up to that person, oh, no, I don't go by that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got in touch with you.
Yeah, that happened last night at the show for me. It was Nemesis. You know, she's a part of the PGWA. She's a PGWA champion. She doesn't go by Nemesis anymore, apparently. She goes by Big Mama. But I guess whoever's doing the booking for her keeps calling her Nemesis. So I was glad that I, you know, got a chance to ask her. So, yeah, I, when you asked about the challenges, yeah, that's definitely one of them, too.
The best is when you're in the ring and they change it from the time you left the locker room to you get to the ring,
mm-hmm.
and you have no way of knowing.
Yeah, that also happened last night. Yeah, because I remember the last time I was on the show, I think you asked me about that. Like, has it ever changed, like, while you're in the ring? And at that point in time, it hadn't. But last night, it did. And so I'm in the ring with an index card for the match that I thought was going on. And somebody else came out, and I was like, I know his name, but I, off the top of my head, I don't know his weight, his hometown. I don't know who he's facing. And I was completely unprepared for that situation. Yeah, but I didn't show it. I made sure to stay cool. I just announced his name because that's all I could do. So did that ever happen to you guys, too?
That's
happened to me
when I ring announced once.
Yeah. It's so nerve-wracking. I don't think people understand the little bit. I mean, you know, sometimes we can probably just stress ourselves out, but I don't think a lot of people understand how much pressure there really is on a ring announcer. They think we just get in the ring and, you know, say people's names and get out, and it's not a big deal. But, you know, we have to do a lot more than that.
Very guys definitely know what's happening because know what's happening within the ring, so that you can be prepared. Like I said, and sometimes, like I said, for me, somebody will see me in the back, but I'm like, no, I can't because if I would hate for that moment to something happen in the ring and the match is over and.
Mhm.
Where's the ring announcer? The match is over.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's better for me to be in the back because changes happen and the back knows about it. But, like, if we're out at ringside and nobody comes out and tells us, then we won't know. But then at the same time, if we don't know who's going over in the match, we have to actually watch the match and the finish so that we know who to announce. And we're not told ahead of time all the time, you know. So you're right about that. But I get nervous about just being out at ringside. Just in case something changes, I want to know. So.
Man, one time they'll just say that'd be the one thing. Just pull on a ring announcer. Just pull a whole total swerve on a ring announcer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just in the middle of
Mr.
Okay,
James,
guys.
Have you ever had that situation where you go to the ring and it changes right before a match and it throws you?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been in the business, you know, for about 16 years. So, I mean, I've kind of learned, you know, a lot, to not really let it, so much bother me. It's just, you know, I'm very good, you know, kind of rolling with the punches, you know, and if a change comes up, you know, it's, you know, okay. You know what I mean? See, I try and stay in the back, you know, until I have to go on. And so I can stay in close contact, you know, with the promoters, you know, and the bookers and the workers themselves, you know, so if they have a change, usually they don't have a change, you know what I mean? I go around about a half an hour before the show starts, you know, and I get everyone's correct names and stats and their weights, you know, and whatnot. And if someone's not there to get their name and stats, you know, before the show starts, what I usually do is I'll make up a weight for them and I'll just introduce them. So kind of a shorter introduction. So because, you know, I mean, it's all I can do. So,
right. But
I try and prepare, you know, as much as I can. You know, I mean, I kind of go through the same routine before each show. And so, you know, that's been what I've been doing for years. You know, it's a lot of routine. You know, it's basically the same job, you know, for every show. I mean, do you guys feel that way too?
About there being a routine before each show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do. I mean, I have things that, I mean, and again, I'm still learning, you know, and there's things that I do differently every show to try to make it as easy on myself as I can, as easy on everybody else as I can, because not everyone else is, you know, going to be prepared. So we just have to do the best that we can. And, you know, like you guys are saying, I'll try ahead of time to get everyone's stats. And you know, I won't necessarily make up a weight for the guys if I don't have to. Like, even if I have to, like, wait right there by the curtain before they go out and be like, hi, didn't get to talk to you. How much do you weigh? Where are you from? And I always have, like, a pencil with me because things change and I have to be able to erase them, you know. So I'll just have that pencil right there with me. I'll jot it down real quick, throw the pencil down. And then, you know, run out to the ring whenever I'm ready. But, I mean, and it just depends on the promotion, too. Some promotions run so smoothly. It's like if this is the card that they give you at 5:30 before bell time at 7, that's the exact way it goes at 7 o'clock. And then there are some, you know, promotions, and it might not even be the promotion's fault. But sometimes it will change while the show is in progress, you know, and those are the ones that just kind of stress me out a little bit, you know. So every place.
See, it's like for me, you know, the bigger the show is, you know, with the most names on it, you know, and the biggest, you know, production values, the bigger the show, the more stress, you know, there seems to be because things are very hectic because the promoters and bookers, you know, are already having a hard time dealing, you know, with all that talent and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to get prepared. I mean, I've done some bigger shows here in the state of Minnesota with a lot of names on it, and I haven't gotten a card until about 2 minutes before I'm supposed to go on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just. Things have been kind of crazy, you know, in that aspect. So,
yeah, I think just by nature, I have anxiety anyway. So it's probably more me stressing myself out than anybody else. Because, you know, people keep reminding me, smile, 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 smile. Because I'll just get in a zone, and it's not that I'm pissed off or unhappy, but I do catch myself not smiling as much as I should. So that's something I got to still work on, just chilling out and not making such a big deal of it. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's going to go fine. You know, the fans are going to enjoy it.
See, there's only so much you can do, you know,
right.
And there's only so much that's in your control, you know, and as long as you're doing the best job that you possibly can, you know, to put over the talent, you know, and to make the show that much better, that's all you can do, honey.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Like for me, I just love say I love it just because for me to know that, say before the startup of the match and the build up, that you're the voice that they'll hear to lead on. So like said, mm-hmm. for me, I want to make sure that I do the best I can because I don't want said knowing that just a simple flub could probably offset the whole start. Say, offset the whole start of it. So,
right.
So, I'm always pumped and amped up. And say, for me, it's like just getting ready to do a concert. For me, getting ready to get my say like the same way I get the names for the wrestlers and everything. That's how, you know, I feel like when I'm behind the turntables. Just be like, just get everything ready, got my set. All right, I got my set, my vinyl, and that's how I am with it. Do I got my notes or my cards? Do I even need my cards? Oh, I got it memorized. All right. Make sure. So I don't
right.
need notes for this one. I'm going to just do it.
Right. So do you guys, like, I'm not trying to take over as interviewer or anything. I'm just curious.
Hey,
you guys ever, was there ever, like, just, like, one point in time in your ring announcing where somebody just dropped a bomb of knowledge on you and is, like, and something just clicked? Like, was there ever a moment, like, whether it was a wrestler, maybe another ring announcer or a promoter or just somebody that just, like, told you something, it's like, oh, my God. That makes so much sense. That makes it so much easier.
Oh, yeah, I still get that all the time. Like I said, talking to wrestlers, especially some of the, say, the old school cats, I do that, or even like when I said do the MMA and just talk to some of the guys who've been around, especially the promoters who've been around, I'm always trying to pick their brain. But I always love to just to sit and listen. I'll ask, sit and listen, and just absorb the information I can get from anybody that I can.
Because
I still consider myself, you know, even after doing this for 5 years, still consider myself just, you know, like, to me, I'm still, say, a new cat doing this because there's been a lot of people, and like I said, even for me during the start, just the evolving of it, and for me evolving, watching myself at the beginning was like, wow, and then just to see how from the start looked like to the product now, you know, it's like, wow, this to the adventure and the adventure I took and the journey to get there, like saying I love that, love the steps for it. But
right.
I'm always listening. I mean, that's my main thing. I want to, if I find something, especially, I mean, I could find another ring announcer that's been doing it forever, I'll just ask the questions, sit and listen.
Yeah.
See, there was there's a ring announcer here in the state of Minnesota who's been ring announcing for about 30 or 40 years, and he used to work for Vern Gagne back in the late 80s, and his name is Mick Karsh. And I'm not sure if you know who that is, but he used to work for Vern Gagne back in the day, and he told me, this is the best advice that he told me, okay? The show is not about you. The show is about the wrestlers. It is your job as a ring announcer to put over the talent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of the best advice that I've gotten. Most of training that I've gotten, I basically trained myself. And I took things, you know, from Howard Finkel. I took things from David Pinsler. I took things, you know, from Mike McGurk. And I kind of, you know, took little bits and pieces out of each ring announcer, and I stirred them up in a bowl, and I created myself and how I do things. So that's my story right there.
And that's true. There's one thing. There's not a what's that, dummies guide for ring announcing.
Right. Sure. I think the best advice I got was I was doing a show in Knoxville, and Jim Cornette was there, and that show was run really smoothly. But I was so used to hanging out backstage because sometimes there would be changes. And I was standing backstage and I was peeking. I think it was like in a gymnasium type. It was at a school, or a church school. And so I was like peeking through the door so I could see who the winner was so I could announce it. And he was backstage and he saw me and he's like, "What are you doing back here?" I was like, I didn't know what to say. It's like, I thought it was obvious. I'm just watching, you know? And he's like, "You're the ring announcer. Where's the ring?" I'm like, "Out there." He's like, "Right. So you should be out there. You know, people should be seeing you." So it's almost like a little bit different than the advice that you were given about, you know, it's not about you, it's about the wrestlers. And I wasn't told it's all about me or anything, but it was be seen as much as possible. When you're in the ring, that's your time. You are, you know, you are the master of ceremonies. This is your show. That's what Jim Cornette told me. He's like, "This is your show. You set the tone. You say when things are happening. You say who's coming out. Blah 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 blah. This is your show." You know, so that was like one of those moments where I got that bomb dropped. And I was like, oh, my God, that makes sense. I should be at ringside, you know, or at least out, like, by the commentators or something. You know what I mean? One thing I like, and I'm enjoying talking to you guys because I'm hearing different things, is just that, hearing all kinds of different perspectives on what we do and how we should be doing it. And we take what we can apply to ourselves, and if there's something we can't, we just kind of, you know, brush it aside and move on. And like you were saying, you put it all in a bowl and you mix it together and you come up with your own way of doing things, you know, and it works, obviously, because, you know, you've been doing it for a while.
So when you started your position, did you announce from backstage, or where did you announce from?
Well, I announced from the ring, except at the end of the matches, I would announce the winner from backstage. And I would, like, I'd be watching on a monitor, and I would just announce from backstage, and then I would come out each time there was a match. I'd just walk out with the referee.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how I would do it.
See, it's important to stay at ringside, you know, or at least kind of close to ringside, because you have to be close to the timekeeper and the referee, because you're trying to put on that show, you know what I mean? And so, and so say, for instance, you know, if a match goes down, you know, and there's a controversial decision, you know, the ring announcer has to talk to the ref, you know, to get the final decision. And so, you know, it's very important that a ring announcer be close to the ring, or have close access to the ring, or the timekeeper, or if you're doing timekeeping at the same time. You know, I find, you know, a lot of times I am the timekeeper and the ring announcer at the same time. So.
Right. Yeah, I think my main concern with that is just when I'm at the certain shows that have changes, and it's like if I'm at ringside and nobody comes out to tell me, then I don't know. But if I'm, you know, somewhere where I have confidence that somebody's going to come out and let me know, oh, by the way, this match got changed, or, you know, we're going to do intermission instead, so don't get in the ring, because I don't want to get in the ring. There have been times where I've gotten in the ring and a wrestler is, like, coming out to cut a promo in the ring. I'm like, oh, I thought we were going to the next match. Here's your microphone. I meant to do that. You know what I mean? And so, because I'm not being told what's going on. So that's why. But I'd love to just be at ringside the whole time. Because, I mean, even I'm still a wrestling fan. I like to sit and watch the matches, too, you know? So.
Now, Dimitri, up here in the Pacific Northwest, we got pretty much a stable crew, like you were talking about. A lot of the guys are in this area, and they're going to hit all the federations in the Pacific Northwest at one time or another. But like you said, sometimes we get guys from out of the area. When you get guys from out of the area that are visiting, is it a little bit harder announcing for those guys, since you aren't necessarily familiar if they have a specific type of entrance or a specific way they like to be announced that they might be accustomed to in their region, but it's not something you're exactly familiar with?
Well, someone like, say, I remember when we had a crew of guys that came up from Texas, and just talking with them, and here, and like saying, especially one had like a, so the last name, and it took for me a hot second to try to enunciate properly, especially to make sure I got the R road right. You know, it's just those fun times like that. I'm like say, but I mean, even the last moment once, like say, even like this past weekend was an event, and we had two guys who I'm familiar with, but I didn't know they were up here. Then, you know, they were going through the matches, and that one time I heard their name. And then so when we're getting ready for the tag match and they come out, it just took me a second to just like, whoa, why didn't nobody tell me they were here? All right, just wrote it in and just said their name and where they were from. But it was just cool that I knew who they were, and that I had previous meetings with these guys before. But, I mean, that was just, for that hot moment, second, I'm glad that I was able to just look, smile, and keep it going. A lot of smile and keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
See, and
Mr. James, have you ever run into that where there's guys that you aren't familiar with and they have kind of a particular way that they like to be announced that throws you off a little bit?
Well, it's not so much that it throws me off. It's all about, you know, communication, you know, giving yourself ample time to prepare before a show. You know, if you're not familiar with guys, like, you know, say, for instance, here in the state of Minnesota, we have guys come down from Canada, and, you know, some of those guys have kind of weird names. Or the Chicago crew, you know, you used to come up here often, you know, and work, and we've had guys from Florida as well come up here and work, you know. It's all about the correct preparation. And if you're not prepared, then you leave yourself open to screw up, you know, an introduction, you know, as to how to pronounce a name. And that has happened to me, where I think I know the correct pronunciation of a name, and I assume that that's how it's said. I get up there, and I ring announce, and that's not how it's pronounced, and I get corrected, and then I have to stand corrected, and then I have to reintroduce, you know, the individual. That's happened a few times, which it's my own fault, which, you know, I've learned from my mistakes, and I know to, you know, to ask that worker, you know, about the correct pronunciation of their name. So, you know, it's all about preparation. And so, and you got to give yourself enough time to prepare as well. So, that's really all I got to say about that one. So.
All right. Well, our co-host QT has been with us. QT, do you have any ring announcing questions for the fine ring announcers we have with us?
Yes, I do, Sign Guy. Hello, Mr. James. Hello, Miss LaVega.
Hello.
Hi.
And hi, Dimitri.
What's up, QT?
Now, Mr. James, did you know that Ken Patera is still currently the number 3 ranked shot putter at Portland State University?
No, I didn't know that. No, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you can go on Portland State University's athletic site and scroll down to track and field, and if you look under shot put, there is Ken Patera.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's an interesting fact.
Yeah, that is. Many of your professional wrestlers were ex-football players and track and field athletes.
Ken Patera's brother is an ex-pro football player, actually. So he comes from a family of athletes. So
yes.
He actually lives here in the Twin Cities, you know, as well with me, and lives about 10 miles away down in Woodbury. So he has a house down there with a dog. So.
Wow.
So,
well,
he's still alive and kicking.
He is. Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Very good. Well, now, Mr. James, did you know that Russ Francis, who went on to play for the New England Patriots back in the 70s, used to wrestle for Portland Wrestling, and he threw the javelin in college?
Oh.
And he placed at the NCAA Track and Field Championships. He was a very good javelin thrower.
What territory was that out in Portland? What was that called?
Well, that was just Portland Wrestling.
Oh,
Frank
okay.
Bonema was the legendary announcer, and you had Shag Thomas as a referee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Oh, well, I'm kind of co-host, sort of, yes.
Okay. Oh, you're the co-host.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'm kind of calling
I didn't know.
On a permanent basis.
Dang, he was like, bye.
No, I wasn't. I was
with your random questions.
Sometimes my questions have that effect on people.
That's okay.
Miss Diggle Vega, you say that you have a theater and acting background. Are you familiar with the movie The Three Amigos?
No, I've not watched it. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've not watched it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if you do get a chance to watch it this weekend, can you get back to our Turnbuckle Turmoil website and tell us who your number one pick for a wrestler in your area would be to recreate the bar scene with Martin Short's character, Dusty Bottoms?
Yes, I will do that.
Oh, okay.
No, for real, I will
do that. Well, Ella, I also saw your YouTube video called The Infamous Lou Marconi. At the 2:25 mark, he said to you, "Honey, I got to tell you, you need to eat a sandwich." What do you mean by that? You've ate plenty of sandwiches in your lifetime.
Actually, I don't eat sandwiches. I don't eat bread. But, I guess a sandwich isn't necessarily something that you have to make with bread. I guess you can use something else to kind of substitute the bread. But I'm not a big sandwich person, but he was pretty much telling me, I guess he thought that I needed to put on a few pounds. So.
Oh,
but
okay.
I told him, I'd rather you tell me that I need to eat a sandwich than tell me that I need to skip a meal, because that would, like, really hit my confidence. But so I was fine with it, and I'm sure it was all in good fun.
Oh,
but
right.
I like that.
Okay.
I like being drawn into things. That's kind of something I wanted to ask you guys, too. It's like, do you guys ever have moments where the wrestlers draw you in, whether it's like they look at you a certain way or they address you or they try to involve you? Like, what happens with that? Like, is there like a particular moment that stands out for you where that has taken place?
Well, I think Dimitri has had that experience with Alpha Sigma Alpha. Am I right, Dimitri?
Yeah, a couple of times. I think one of the biggest ones I had was with a wrestler, Kellen Rafe. I'm doing the intro and I had cue cards. Even like I said, it was just part of the routine. I mean, I know everything about him. So as I'm introducing, not looking at the cue cards, he just ripped the cue card out of my hand. Referee picked it up from my hand without me skipping a beat, still ringing out. And he's like, "Ring announcers don't need cue cards anyway." Grabbed the cue card from my hand again and just rips it up while I'm still announcing him, just looking straight ahead to the audience, still smiling.
Yep. That is so funny.
Or the wrestlers who would love to want to cut a promo, and you're saying it's like, you know, I eventually got to get out the ring someday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in the ring longer than I have to. Y'all got to wrestle.
Yeah.
Just lay the mic down there, and I'll have somebody retrieve it for me.
Right. That's funny.
Now, Dimitri, speaking of Alpha Sigma Alpha, are there any truth to the rumors that you will soon pledge to Alpha Sigma Alpha?
Nah, I don't know. I think their hazing rituals, it might be a little bit too extreme for me. I watch School Days.
Okay.
I'm cool with the fraternity stuff.
Oh, all right. Well, Dimitri, are there any truth to the rumors that Tex Thompson has contacted you to be the announcer in the retirement match of QT Vokes when he goes up against Paul Moonshine in a steel cage match?
Not that, but I'll keep on the lookout for that.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully I'll see him when I bump into him next week. He asks me in person.
All right. Well, Mr. James, you mentioned Howard Finkel. In WWE, or just about anywhere for that matter, the ring announcer can be the soundtrack to a great entrance or title-changing moment in history. The legendary Howard Finkel would draw out the word "new" when announcing a title change. Some ring announcers are expected to be sharp and at their best for 300 shows for a year. Mr. James, how many shows on average do you do per year?
Per year? Well, I am actually at the end of a break. I took a break for several months. Per year, I'd say now, these past few years have been kind of slow for me. I'll do about 2 to 3 shows per month. Primarily shows are held on Saturdays, so about two or three Saturdays out of the month on average. So about three per month. But there apparently is a brand new company starting up in Florida, which is going to start running shows here in October, I believe, which they have 45 shows planned for next year, which they're supposed to be doing shows all over the country. And I got hired for the ring announcing position for that company. So I'll be doing at least 45 shows next year. The ring announcers that were considered for the position were three ring announcers. The third one, I don't know. The second one was Justin Roberts, and the third one was me. I landed the position, so I'm just kind of waiting to start.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So
okay. I got the job.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Dimitri, sometimes a ring announcer will also lead the ring crew in getting the ring set up. WWE's Tony Schiavone has been doing this for 20 years. Do you yourself help in the ring setup at local wrestling?
I help take it down sometimes.
Oh, okay, take it down, okay.
I have it, because say, most of the time, especially the few promoters out here, they have the ring set up way in advance, early in the day, for the wrestlers to get whatever they're doing during the day, whether it's the last-minute training or whatever. So, like I said, there have been plenty of times I stayed to volunteer to help take the ring down.
Okay, all right. Well, on the independent circuit, a good ring announcer also plugs sponsors, such as the restaurant Patty's at Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Patty's Restaurant. They have to engage the crowd like Roy Lovejoy does at Blue Collar Wrestling, and they also have to plug the concession stands. Ms. LaVega, do you yourself plug the concession stands at your local events?
I don't, actually. There is someone else who does that part. So, like, whenever there's an intermission or when the show is over, usually over at Saw anyway, Kroll, he usually takes over and does that. So, no.
Okay.
No. I wouldn't mind doing it. It's just that I'm not ever asked to. But I will plug, like, upcoming events and stuff like that, just not the concessions.
Oh, all right. Upcoming events, okay. Will you be plugging any Halloween events coming up?
No, because I'm actually leaving for Australia on Thursday, and I won't be back until just about Halloween time. So, and our next show is in November anyway, so it'll be past Halloween. But I'm kind of sad about that because I thought it would be fun to dress up for Halloween and be in the ring and do something, you know?
Oh.
Have you guys ever done Halloween shows?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I wind up still staying in my regular suit and tie, but one of these days I always kept saying one of these days I wouldn't mind just coming in the ring dressed as a ringmaster.
That's what I wanted to do too. I wanted to do that too. That would have been a fight. But yeah, I won't be here for that. Mm-hmm.
Well, ring announcers can also act like a lost and found. When ring gear accessories get taken off after a performer's entrance or discarded during a match, the ring announcer usually assumes the responsibility of making sure that someone in the front row doesn't get a free souvenir. Mr. James, have you ever caught someone in the front row trying to steal someone's shoes or other accessories?
Oh, yeah, of course. I just quickly, basically, walk up to them, you know, very politely, sorry, I have to take that from you. And, of course, they always want to keep it because, you know, it's a cool souvenir, you know, whether it be a vest or a pair of pants or a headband. There was this one time where a foreign object was used in the ring, and, of course, it was cardboard, you know, wrapped in white tape. It got thrown outside the ring, and a fan picked it up, and I had to snatched out of the fan's hand, you know, rather quickly to keep the kayfabe of the match. it's usually if someone, you know, tries to take something, you know, they, you know, they have to give it back, you know, and I very politely just ask for it back. And sure, they're bummed out, but they always hand it over. So, yeah, I've never experienced, you know, a problem with it, really.
All right. Well, Mr. James, the most crucial and common unseen role of a ring announcer is keeping time. They have to keep communication with the referee and performers as to how much time they have left or has gone by in their match. This way, what's supposed to be 10 minutes doesn't turn into 20 or 25 minutes. Have you yourself ever lost track of time in a match? Maybe because a character like Goldust was in the match.
I've never been, you know, really starstruck to the point where I lose focus on my own job. I have lost track of time during the match, but it was just because I was daydreaming or something like that, which I shouldn't have been doing. I should have been paying attention. I always wear a watch. Okay, so if I have to keep time, you know, the time can be accurate, and how I communicate with the referees or the workers themselves, usually, is they're worried about keeping time. Now typically, keeping time is pretty common in a TV taping, okay? Now, like 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, if that comes up, I'll just simply announce it. 5 minutes gone by, 5 minutes elapsed time. And so that's how they know, you know, when to stay within their time limit that they have to work. So.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Ella, did you know Mike McGurk's WWF debut was in April of 87 on WWF's Wrestling Challenge, and she was immediately the object of ridicule from heel commentator Bobby Heenan? She often did commentary with Bruce Pritchard or Brother Love.
I'm sorry, can you repeat just the first part of that?
Oh, okay. Well, Mike McGurk's WWF debut was in April of 87 on WWF's Wrestling Challenge.
Right.
And she immediately drew heat from Bobby Heenan.
I'm not familiar with that scenario. What happened?
Oh, well, she drew a lot of heat from Bobby Heenan, and I'd like to see you work with someone that has a Bobby Heenan-like personality one day.
Why?
Well, I think I don't see too often women ring announcers working with someone, a guy that projects well as a heel announcer. I think he'd be a good tag team effort with someone like that.
It's possible. I mean, you know, Hot Rod Biggs, you know, over at NWA Saw, he's not, I mean, he's a heel, but he's like a funny kind of heel, but he's definitely a heel. But I don't get a chance to work with him that much. You know, I don't sit down at the announce table with him, and, you know, him and Jack Johnson always have glowing reviews about me, you know, so they're always saying something nice. I never have heat with anyone. I'm either neutral or people like me. I haven't gotten any heat yet with anybody.
Oh, all right. Well, now, Mr. James, if the independent company or any independent company has television airing their product, the timing of the matches becomes even more important. The ring announcer can use signals to give the referee or wrestlers time cues. Other times, the ring announcer will announce on the microphone when 5 or 10 minutes has gone, giving everyone in the ring a reference point. It's like a quartermaster in the Navy or Merchant Marines in the 1930s or 40s, using the North Star as a navigation course plotting apex beacon. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yes, I would agree. For TV tapings, now, I've worked for 3 network TV shows here in the state of Minnesota: the American Wrestling Federation, Steel Domain Wrestling, and All Star Wrestling, which both aired on the KSTC 45 network. Time limits were very, very, very important. certain methods that we've used. We've used two or three methods. The referees would wear stopwatches on their wrists, or would announce 5 or 10 or 15 minutes over the live microphone, over the house mic, or I would hold up a pencil or some object or wave to the referee in some way, shape, or form, because I'd be sitting at the timekeeper's table, and so, of course, you know, the referee is always, you know, they're always looking at the timekeeper table, right? I've used those methods, but you know what? Things would just be so much easier if we were all on radio headsets, you know, and if the referees all had ears in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But, you know, the smaller promotions don't have that kind of budget, but ideally that would be the best way to handle it.
Well, it'd be better than Morse code.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, Ella, good luck with your Dusty Bottoms Three Amigos homework assignment.
Can you repeat that one more time? I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing.
good luck with your Dusty Bottoms Three Amigos homework assignment and how it relates to wrestling. Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to do that, though. I'm not joking. I'll do it.
All right.
Well, we have just a few minutes left, so I want to give time to everybody to plug, promote, say anything they want to say to the listeners. So, ladies first, Miss De La Vega.
Well, you can find me on Facebook. Just type in Ella De La Vega and I'll pop up. Same thing with YouTube. Same thing with Twitter. And I'm also on Instagram, too, if you want to go on there. I post a lot on there. And NWA Saw has a show coming up in November, November 14th. I don't know if it's in Cookeville again. I think we've got a new location. So just everybody keep your eyes peeled for that. Thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure. Mr. James, anything you want to plug, promote, or say to the listeners?
Sure. Well, I don't have any upcoming events. Hopefully I'll have some bookings soon, but I'd like to say to the listeners, you can add me on Facebook at Travis James. Also, in late 2015 and the year 2016, for that new company that I was talking about, starting up down in Florida, I will be doing shows across the nation, so I hope to see some of you wrestling fans, you know, at one of those events. The name of the promotion has not been named yet, so I hope to see all you wrestling fans out there, you know, across the nation. And also, while I have that position, I'm going to make another attempt to get in with World Wrestling Entertainment, and hopefully I can get a tryout through them, but that's a little difficult. But I'll see all you wrestling fans out there, and if you see me, stop in and or stop over and say hello. I'd love to talk to you. And thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure was ours. Dee, what have you got going on that you need to plug?
Well, once of all, you know, I'm part of the glorious group Turnbuckle Turmoil. So, like I say, I'll always put up a post or a comment on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Facebook page, Facebook group. Check out any upcoming videos from Turnbuckle Turmoil, from any wrestling events that we attend on our YouTube page. Check out said up-and-coming young grappler with plans of going pro to professional wrestling in his adult life, Warrior Kids A. Check him out on his Facebook, Warrior Kids A. And up here in the Pacific Northwest, this upcoming weekend is Piper Palooza. It'll be a tribute show in honor of Roddy Piper, and we're going to have professional wrestling and then also a grappling submission type exhibition matches. Check that out. Then on October 3rd, I'll be ring announcing also at SCW in Poulsbo, Washington. And my thing to say to everybody, just keep on supporting independent wrestling. If you're listening, you've never been to one, check it out. You never know who you see or what will happen. The only part of the experience is to be there and see for yourself so you can spread the word and let everybody else know about it.
All right.
Amen
well,
to
fans,
that one.
Fans, if you want to keep up with the ring announcers, get out there, support your local independent wrestling. Thanks to everyone that was on the show today. I appreciated having you on, and We'll talk to you fans next week, next Friday when we are on. We will have Sean Carr out of the New York area. Next Sunday, Big Man Day. We're going to have some of the bigger men in professional wrestling size-wise. Should be a great show. Get out there, support local pro wrestling. If you're up in our neck of the woods, DOA's 7th anniversary show is tonight. So get out there, support, 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 and we will talk to you guys next week.
Yes.